Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Comic Source Podcast. I'm your host, Jace.
I'm Manny.
And this is your New Comics Wednesday episode for December 23rd, 2020. Man, we're getting close to the end of the year, getting close to Christmas. And
I mean, getting close to Christmas. It's like hugging up against you.
Yeah. Well, I'm so busy. So busy. Because I procrastinated on those 12 days of the Comic Source episodes. So now I need to record like 30 something episodes in like 2 days.
I know that viewers can't see it, but I remember early in December when you were announcing that, the entire time I was shaking my head. I just want to verbally let that out.
And, yeah, I mean, I knew I had a schedule, and had I kept to my schedule instead of waiting, you know, I basically let 2 weeks go by and I didn't record anything. I could have, would not be in this situation. Now I'm getting like 2 hours of sleep a night, but. You know what? I'm having a lot of fun though. It's fun. Like sacrificing the sleep sucks. And, you know, I wish I wasn't losing sleep because I think the episodes would be even better, but I'm just having a lot of fun going back and because now it's like normally when I do them, you know, I'm reading like this episode, you know, this comic or that comic or whatever. And then, you know, I don't get back to it for a week. Whereas now I'm reading big chunks. So that's been good. But, since I do need to get to that, we're going to jump right into the books this week. This was a pretty big week. I read 17 new books, but I'll only bore you with five of them. But
I don't see how you read 17 books.
Usually I let you go first. I'm going to start first. And what am I going to talk about? I'm going to talk about Action Comics. I'm going to talk about the last Superman comic by Brian Michael Bendis, The House of Kent, Chapter 7. And this is, it says epilogue, but this is what I don't understand. The last issue, part 6, was an epilogue. So I guess this is an epilogue to an epilogue. Like Bendis can't even do that right.
Bendis can't do nothing.
It's just so annoying. Like, I guess that was the epilogue and then this is the end. But anyway, it's called Micro Hopes, written by Brian Michael Bendis. John Romita Jr. on pencils. He's been on Action for a while. It's been complete garbage. Klaus Janson inking, Brad Anderson on colors, Dave Sharp on letters. And I will say this, I enjoyed it because it was his last issue and now know it's over. And we do get a big chunk of the comic is Superman and John Kent flying around, trying to spend some quality time together. And I think it's supposed to be touching and, you know, some father son time and kind of harken back to, you know, when he was younger before he got sucked into space and aged up, but it fails. And all it ends up doing is reminding you that he shouldn't be this age. So I appreciated the sentiment, and it's not even executed poorly, except for the art's terrible, but it fails because it reminds you of that. So the best part was Jimmy Olsen now owns the Daily Planet, and the reaction of Perry White to that was great. So, I mean, honestly, it is one of the better issues that Bendis has done, probably because there's no villains in it. So he doesn't have to write villains badly, which he's terrible. If there's anything he writes worse than heroes, it's villains. He so bad. So anyway, it was an okay issue, which, you know, when an okay issue, like I'd probably get like a 6 out of 10. When a 6 out of 10 is like a high point for his run, you know, one of the top probably 5 issues he's done in the entire time he's been working on Superman, that's a real problem. And the other part of it's the art. I mean, JRJR, he's a terrible enough lazy artist these days, but I feel like he's at his worst when he's on Superman. I mean, it is just garbage. I mean, just absolutely horrible. The proportions are all out of whack. Everybody has these weird lines on their faces all the time. People are stiff. They just, like, honestly, the best art in the entire book is on the last page, the title page, which is just a desk and some computer screens and a bunch of little post-it notes from Bendis to people that he wants to say thank you to. Like, there's nobody on the page. That's the best art, when he's just drawing a desk, pencils and post-it notes, because it is so bad. Like, just bad. Like, I'm gonna make you suffer, Manny. I'm gonna share my screen with you and show you a couple pages so you can see. Like, look at this. When Superman's picking up a tree that from falling over, and John Kent, like, what is that? It's just, it's terrible. And where's another? And I know that you've seen this a bunch from JR in his Superman run. When they fly, when they're, you know, they just launch up to fly, they look so stiff, like an ironing board flying.
Yeah.
It's terrible.
Did you share your screen?
Thought I did.
No, you didn't. Good. Just leave it alone. Just kidding.
Yeah. I was going to say, it says I'm sharing it. So yeah. Yeah. Just garbage. Complete and total garbage on the art.
Oh, yeah, so. I hate that so yeah. much.
And then this, look at John's face right here. Like, what is that? And all these lines. Yeah. So anyway, enough of me complaining. I'm glad it's over. Oh, am I glad it's over? I talked about this when I was on Dark Knight Nation's YouTube channel, and we released it as a podcast as well last week on Saturday, I think. I haven't read much Philip Kennedy Johnson. So PKJ on Superman, I'm not happy about it. I'm happy Bendis is off the book, but I'm not excited for PKJ because I have no idea. I much rather would have had them bring on somebody who's a known quantity, you know, and there's no shortage of people that could have done a good job. Mark Waid has been wanting to be on Superman forever. Robert Venditti, yeah, Tom Taylor.
Wait, do it.
Yeah, and you bring on a relative unknown. So I don't know. I guess we'll see how it goes. Anyway, I'm going to shut up about Superman. Thank God it's over. It's our Christmas gift this year. Bendis is off the title. What do you have up first?
So, like, yeah, thank God he's off the title, but he's going to jump on a Justice League now. And I do not like his team, his lineup.
I'm not buying it. I mean, here's what sucks about that, though. I would have kept reading Justice League Dark by Ram V.
Yeah.
And that's a 10-page backup. Well, I'm not paying $5 for a Justice League book where I only want to read the backup. So I just won't read
Justice League. That team is – I really, really believe that that team is not – you. It won't last. Like, you – it just
– yeah, I mean, Green Arrow as the leader, no. Hippolyta, no. Naomi, hell no.
So, like, my argument is Naomi should have gone to either Teen Titans.
Oh, yeah.
Young Justice, something like that. I would have accepted that. But
yeah, and there's no Green Lantern, there's no Flash on the team, but I'm sure it won't be too long before Bendis brings in his Teen Lantern from Young Justice.
Another garbage character. But you're gonna put Black Adam on the team?
He's got a movie coming, Manny.
I don't, yeah, but like,
that's
so
why
you have this, like, you have this team, and then
it's terrible, I know.
And then it's written by Bendis. So it's like, all right, so I don't need this book.
Well, you know what? It could be worse. It could be. That's what I'm telling myself. I'm not going to read it.
Are you telling me it could be like, what's his name on Green Lantern?
No, they could have put Zack Snyder on it. Did you hear about that rumor? Or yeah, it wasn't not even a rumor. I think
I texted you about that. Yeah.
Yeah, he said he was on somebody else's YouTube channel and said he talked to Jim Lee about doing a Joker Robin story where the Joker kills Robin.
More Joker? Oh, God. Like, yeah. No,
he's like, Jim Lee's going to draw it, and I'm going to write it, and Joker's going to kill Robin. I'm just like, dude, go away. Go fall in a hole somewhere. I don't ever want to hear your name. Like, it's gotten beyond. I don't want him to do DC.
Well, what about
I just want him to go away forever.
What about a Goyer, a Blue Beetle Goyer book?
Nope. I'm out.
Oh, Jesus
Christ. But Snyder has surpassed Goyer in terms of despicable behavior and garbage creator in my mind. It used to be Goyer. I dislike Goyer more. Now Snyder, he's at the top of the heap. So
yeah.
Anyway, what do you got for your first book?
So for my first book, I have DC's Red Hood number 52.
Interesting.
And have you read any of it?
So I was so far behind on Red Hood that I wasn't picking it up. And then because I was curious how it was going to go with Sean Martinborough.
Yes.
I've read the last two. So I read 51 and now this one,
okay.
which cool. I think this is the last issue of the series. Cause
yeah.
there's no solicitation for Red Hood in March.
So the reason why I asked you that was because of that, because you can read the last two issues by Sean Marnborough with, let's go down the creative team, with Tony Atkins and Moore Tat on pencils, and then Stefano, what is that? Guardiano on inks and Paul Mounts of colors. It tells a whole different story of Red Hood coming back to Gotham. Obviously, this is post-Joker War. And so, like, if you've read the rest of the run, it doesn't matter. You can just read these two issues, and it's completely different. Which was okay for me, because I was really uncomfortable with the way they were treating Bizarro near the end. When, you know, they gave him too much power, I feel. And then so it was nice to see it a little bit different, but at the same time, I actually think that this story, usually we're like, we talk about how stories are too long. I think this one could have used like two or three more issues to really develop some of the characters in here, because I mean, I was into them. I liked them. And I'm sure that, you know, maybe we'll get a little bit more of Strike in the future, in 2021. But it just, like, the whole villain stuff in it with Tommy Max, I really didn't care for, like, Killer Croc. Like, I get it. Like, it's nice to see different characters, but at the same time, like, don't give me a story that you're kind of, I've almost felt like somebody was pushing me from behind, like, let's go. And so by the end of it, I was kind of like, what just happened? I like this. Like, can I enjoy it a little bit more? No. So we just had to kind of rush through it. I really felt that the artwork felt the same way. There are just some panels that I was just like, God, that is an awful profile face. And especially when they were in the diner, it just, I don't know. I didn't like the artwork either. And the funny thing is, like, I thought the colors were fine, but then the pencils and maybe even the inking was just weird. It just, I did not like faces particularly in the book. So in total, as much as I wanted to like it, it was a little bit of a disappointment for me. And with everything that Scott Liddell did up to 50, and then with these two, I felt like the book needed a little bit better send off, and I didn't get it.
Yeah, I mean, well, Sean Martinborough's an artist, so I think he probably would have loved to have more time on the book. You know, Liddell was leaving at 50, and I guess they just decided, okay, well, we have 2 months. We're just going to give Martinborough a shot, I guess, because I agree with you. Like, so you weren't on the episode where I covered 51, and I was kind of disappointed you weren't, because I wanted your opinion, because you've been reading it the whole time. And so, I totally get what you're saying. Like, we did need a little more setup for, because I felt like in 51, we hardly got any Red Hood. It was all focused on the bad guys. And even in this one, it's not like that. Like you said, it goes so fast that there's not really very many character moments. You don't get a chance to really see the relationship develop, or we don't even really get Jason Todd's thoughts on anything. It just, everything just happens. So I'm pretty sure it's because Sean had to, you know, condense things down because he was only getting these two issues. That being said, yeah, I get what you're saying. Like, he did develop quite a bit in these two issues. He crammed it all in there, but there's like a lot of stuff with like the neighborhood and the, you know, the people like Dana who took it upon themselves to, you know, kind of fight back or whatever. So yeah, there's a lot of stuff there to build on. You know, if he could have had a full 5 or 6 issues to build an arc, it could have been really good. I'll be curious, like, you know, we know that the solicitations that came out for March aren't all the books, because it didn't have Green Lantern, didn't have Wonder Girl. You know, we know more books are coming. I'll be real curious to see if Red Hood is one of them. I kind of don't think it will be, just because it was one of their lower selling titles. But, you know, it is Batman. So there's a couple of Batman anthologies. They could put it, you know, there's backups in Batman and Detective. And then there's the Batman Urban Legend anthology. Yeah. So we could see Red Hood show up in there. So I guess we'll have to wait and see.
Well, he does show up in there for at least one issue.
Oh, that's right. So yeah. The Chip Zdarsky, I think it's supposed to be a 4 or 5 parter. that launches Urban Legends. Like the main story is really good.
Yeah. That's actually what I meant. Yeah, but you know, I will say this: out of everything, we may have complained and everything about Joker War, and how it played out, whatever, with the Joker. But I will say that I do like the aftermath stuff. You know, the Clown Hunter, which I know you're not a fan of, but the character and how maybe it can work out in 2021. You have characters like Strike and Dana and a lot of characters who kind of who have emerged from that rubble that was Gotham and took it upon themselves to be their own heroes. And it's just a new way of looking at the protectors of Gotham that aren't necessarily the Bat family that I think is a pretty cool story to tell, because we've seen Batgirl, Robins and all that stuff like a billion times. So to see kind of like the average person be taken too far and try their luck with it, and maybe it just, you know, some of these characters don't work out and it's conveyed that in story, or Batman just trying to like tell people like stop being vigilantes, like it's fine. Like I think it's just, it's different. It's different. It's not the Joker, it's not the Penguin, it's not the Riddler, and it's also not Nightwing. You know, or something, which I have no problem with them. It's just different. And I'm like, okay, I can deal with that and let Batman take a little bit of a break while he tries to figure out how to get his fortune back and everything.
Well, you mentioned Clown Hunter. I'm sure you'll talk about this I know you're going to talk about Detective. You probably won't specifically give away what happens at the end, because that would be a spoiler and we want to keep this spoiler free. But you did bring up Clown Hunter. And all I will say is, oh, you mean the next Robin? You know that's what's coming, man. I told you. What we saw in Detective this week has not changed my mind about that whatsoever.
No, but I could talk about this when we get to Detective, but I would pray that they're a little bit more creative than that.
It's Mariko Tamaki. I guess we'll see. And it might not even be her, you know, it could be coming down from editorial mandate, could be the devil, could be Pamela Lyford. So anyway, I'm going to move on to my next book. It's Batman Superman. And I know you don't read this title, Manny, but man, this is one you would really, really like. So it's written by, it's called Snow Fight, and it's written by Joshua Williamson. The art is by Andrea Bresson, colors by Alejandro Sanchez, letters by John J. Hill. And it's kind of a one and done, which, you know, you don't see too many of those anymore. So it was pretty cool. On the cover, it says Solomon Grundy, born on a Monday, exploded on a Tuesday. And basically, there's a giant snowstorm, which I don't know if they're trying to tie this into Endless Winter. I mean, it doesn't say it's an Endless Winter crossover. Nothing's mentioned about it. But basically, what's happened is Solomon Grundy's going to explode. He's like this dirty bomb. And they're saying that if he goes off, he could take out like half the United States. Like that's how much trouble they're in. And Colonel Jonas from the Damage title shows up here. It was good to see her again. And they end up having to bring Pamela Isley, Poison Ivy, in to try to figure out. And we learned something about Solomon Grundy that I didn't know. I don't think it's been ever talked about before. You know, he dies constantly, you know, once a week he dies and he's resurrected. And supposedly, based on like how he dies and different combinations of things, when he's resurrected, he can be sort of different each time. There's like an infinite amount of possible combinations. And this time he basically came back as like this organic bomb. So it can't be deactivated, but if they take him back to the swamp, Slaughter Swamp, he'll merge with the swamp and then regenerate without exploding. So this is all about Superman and Batman trying to get him to the swamp. It's not easy. Superman can't just pick him up and fly him over there, because he's so fragile. And it's all about them trying to get Solomon Grundy back to the swamp. But of course, other people have heard about it, because, you know, Solomon Grundy was in Arkham. So you know how that goes. Word travels on the grapevine, and all of a sudden there's all these villains that are, you know, they don't realize the severity of it. And they're trying to capture Grundy to use as like a weapon of mass destruction. And it's, you know, Superman and Batman trying to get him safely back to the swamp. But the reason that I think you would love it is because at the end, Superman and Batman sort of have a moment where they talk about their friendship and how much they sort of need each other. And then there's like a really cool moment, which I won't spoil, but I will show you, Manny, that I was like, see, this is exactly what a Superman Batman title should be. You know, talking about their friendship and, you know, how much they like each other. And, you know, it's just fun. So I thought it was a good book. And I think that Joshua Williamson doesn't get enough credit sometimes. I mean, he's a great guy. Sometimes his writing, you know, the pacing on it, things can seem to drag. And his writing isn't like super dynamic sometimes. But when he does things like this, when he plays on emotion, I think is when his writing is at its best, when he focuses on the relationship between heroes. You know, again, like his action stuff, like when he's doing action and trying to go for the big beats, it doesn't always land for me. But when he does stuff like this, that's when I think he's at his best. So I thought it was a good issue. I mean, that one panel I showed you was worth the price of admission right there. It was great. So what do you have up next?
Let's go with Wonder Woman. How about that? Wonder Woman 769. This is the finale for Liar Liar Returns, written by Mariko Tamaki, Steve Putt on art, when Romulo Fajardo Jr. on colors. I don't know. It got weird once they introduced the bunny as an actual thing. And I'm still trying to figure that out, whether it was in her head or what exactly that was all about. But she had me for a second again. And then now Wonder Woman's fighting her in her fantasy world, in her head or something. She
had you for a minute with this issue or with last issue.
You know,
okay.
Trying to tell that. So I was like, I really thought that we were going to get, because we were in the very, very beginning. We were like, oh yeah, this is good. This is going to be good. And then there was nothing. And then it got good again. So I was like, all right, so does that mean we're going to, you know, it ended up being the two bookends that make this title, and everything in the middle is just like a weird filling that we didn't like. But no, I think it was fell flat, actually. And it's a typical ending for female character with issues.
Yep, I agree with you 100%. I was gonna say that the worst part is like the last page. Like, really, you're gonna go for that cliche ending that's been done a million times?
A million, like, if it's a, like, everybody does it and everybody's done it.
Yeah.
I almost feel like just saying it, because it, at this point, it's not even like, like that's your only.
Yeah, you could have just ended it a page sooner, and that would have been fine. It still wouldn't have been a good ending, but at least you didn't completely crap the bed. Because right. I agree with you. Like this, I think that this issue is such a mess. It completely encapsulates the whole series for me. There's a few scenes, maybe a couple. I can't even think of any off the top of my head that are okay. The majority of it's just not very good. And that's, you know, you can say that about the whole series. I feel like we got a really great issue, which was the first issue of the run. And then last issue was above average. Other than that, I felt like everything was below average.
Yeah. I'm glad. I thought, I was like, man, like, do I just like hate things today? Or like, is it just me? But it, you know, and it's sad because we had such high expectations for this book. And now Tamaki's going to jump over on a book that I don't know if I want her on. So
yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what happens there.
I mean, sure. It was crazy. So it's crazy. So we've talked about a couple of books already, and we're like, oh, thank God this is ending, because they've been terrible runs, and now they're going to jump on bigger books.
Yep.
So,
yeah, we're going to talk about another creative team that ended their run, but I have a feeling that that's, we're going to feel a little different about that one. But
Future State is not looking very good for 2021. I hate to sound that way too, because like it's depressing, because you know, usually we're like super giddy about new creative teams and about, you know, certain mini series and things that are coming up, and I just overall I'm not excited.
I mean, I'm excited for Future State because it's different stuff, right? Like it doesn't have anything to do with the continuity
Bad. I mean actually
Infinite Frontier.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Future State's gonna be fun. I like that. But after that,
Infinite Frontier has me scared to death because there's no names. There's Tom Taylor, obviously James Tynion on the Batman book and on the Joker book. And other than that, I mean, Bendis is a known name, but he's not any good anymore. And then, you know, I'd make the argument maybe he never was.
Never been a fan. Kenny, I don't know if I ever told you this, but Kenny's the mind that Marvel pays Bendis to ruin DC books.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I think his stock was pretty low at Marvel and they were happy to see him go. Didn't want to pay him anymore. So anyway, let me move on. I'm going to talk about Justice League Dark number 29. It's Endless Winter part 7. And the reason I'm going to talk about this book is for anybody who plans on reading Ram V's new Swamp Thing title that's starting up in March, you're going to want to pick up this book. Even if you're not reading Endless Winter, you're going to want to pick up this book. So we know that previously in an issue of Justice League Dark that the Alec Holland Swamp Thing sacrificed himself. Well, in this issue, you're going to find out who the new avatar of the Green is. So if you're planning on picking up that Ram V book, you need to pick this up so you can see the origin of the new Swamp Thing, so to speak.
Spoiler alert, it's the Joker.
It could be. As far as this issue itself, so you know, just like all the Endless Winter books, it's written by Ron Mars and Andy Lanning. And there's a really cool cover by Kyle Hotz, I think is how you say his name, Hotz. And then let me find the rest of the credits. We have Ammon Clay Nalapan on art. Colors are by June Chung and letters are by Rob Lee. So other than that, there's not a, you know, other than seeing who the new Swamp Thing is going to be, there's not a whole lot that happens in that. Like, it's kind of like the whole point of this issue is to get a new Swamp Thing to come and help fight the Frost King. Like, literally nothing else happens in the issue. It's just their mission to, I mean, kind of get an update, like, hey, how's the fight going against the Frost King? Oh, it's not going well. Okay, we really need to get help of the, what I can't remember what they call them, the green, you know, and the gray, the parliaments, that's it, the parliaments of life. So the black and the red and the gray and the green and all that, they really need help. And so that leads them down the path, which eventually ends up with a new Swamp Thing. And of course, the first couple pages are, you know, flashback to the original Justice League Viking, as they're called, when they finally defeated the Frost King. So there's only two parts left after this. So Black Adam 8 is out this week also. And I'll just real briefly touch on that probably at the end. And then it all finishes up with Justice League Endless Winter 2, which is the bookend, which is part 9, and it comes out next week. So yeah, like I said, this one was okay. The art's really solid, color work really solid. Really, really good. But the reason you want to pick this up if you're a Swamp Thing fan is to find out who the new Swamp Thing is. I am not a Swamp Thing fan, so I kind of like the choice. Manny is more of a Swamp Thing fan than me, but he's, you know, Alec Holland or bust, which I get. I mean, I totally get. if you love Swamp Thing, then you probably love him because, you know, he's Alec Holland. And this is going to be a completely different take on the character. So this, I would be more interested in reading this to see what Ram V does with a kind of a new, you know, new personality for Swamp Thing. But even that's not enough for me to.
I feel like that old comic book guy who's like, Barry Allen's my Flash or, you know,
yeah.
You know, this is my Flash. And then because everything's like changing.
Yeah.
And I'm catching myself like, ah, man, am I that guy now? But yeah, cause I understand that at some point things need to change, but, yeah, I don't care. That's my opinion.
Yeah. Totally valid. What do you have up next?
Ice Cream Man number 22 by W. Maxwell Prince, by art by Martin Morazzo, colors by Chris O'Halloran. This one is called Advent Calendar, and it's really weird. And that's saying something, because usually Ice Cream Man is weird, but this takes it to a different level of weird, just because of the fact that it actually has a moral to it, and it's advocating for something in particular, which I expected there to be some sort of punchline. There wasn't, and that completely surprised me, and I'm pretty sure they did it on purpose, because it was very, very engaging and intriguing, and as so the entire story takes place. Every page is a different number on the advent calendar. Excuse me. And every item is something pertaining to that page, and it's following the story of a girl who got pregnant and is now looking to make the decision whether to keep it or more than likely to have an abortion. And the horrors that she goes through with trying to tell her folks, dealing with the guy who, your stereotypical guy who was like, oh, I'm not ready for a kid. And then I rolled my eyes like, yeah, but you were, anyway, that's a whole different conversation. And so it's dealing with that, but you're thinking also it's Ice Cream Man. So there's going to be a twist. There's going to be something that happens that's horrific. They're going to be, I kept looking for the pages for spiders and I wasn't getting them. And so it was really weird and different, and there's ducks. That's all I'm going to say about the ducks. So it was a good issue to wrap it up on. I do hope people read it, because it actually deals with the real life horrors of making the decision to have an abortion or not. And it is just odd, and in the form of Ice Cream Man, which to me continues to be a very, very strong book. I can say that in this series so far, I've seen almost everything. I mean, one issue was in Spanish. One issue was like on another dimension, and it all revolves around this one character in the anthology, which is Ice Cream Man. And then at the end of the book, this is not a spoiler or anything, so don't worry about it, but I had not heard of this, but in January, Maxwell Prince is going to be releasing that a new anthology called Ha Ha, with a terrifying clown cover. And very excited for that.
Usually when you release anthologies, it's because you have a bunch of stories to tell. But he already has an anthology, so I guess my question is, what? Like, if you have more ideas for stories, why aren't you just putting them in Ice Cream Man?
Maybe there are different. I don't know.
They're horror. It's horror. I mean, isn't Ice Cream Man horror? I guess maybe Ice Cream Man is just more. I mean, is it horror, or would you call it supernatural?
Both.
I mean, maybe this haha is going to be a, you know, more brutal horror.
I don't know, but we'll see that. But you know, based on what he's done with Ice Cream Man, I mean, a couple of issues back when they did all of the like Dr. Seuss stories, I was just like blown out of like my mind. It was, like, it's so good. And then there's a couple of issues before that. They did like a game show one, and then the one in Spanish. I mean, just, you never know what you're gonna get. I mean, one issue dealt with suicide, another one with drug abuse, and another one with like greed or guilt or indecision. It's like everything, but then he magnifies it and like everything that could be terrifying about that, and puts that crazy spin. And then it's just complemented with like this like terrible artwork in a good way, especially in the eyes. Like the artwork's not necessarily like, you couldn't necessarily put this artwork like in a superhero book, but in a horror book, it just works. So.
All right. Fair enough. Next book I'm going to talk about is Miles to Go, number 3. So I actually just talked about the first issue of this series when I did all those number ones on Aftershock Monday. So I hope you guys got a chance to listen to some of those. They're all relatively recent Aftershock titles or titles that are still coming out, like Miles to Go. Just because I think Aftershock has so many quality books. So hopefully if you listen to those and hear about 8 different number ones, you can find a series that, you know, kind of catches your eye and you want to go and pick it up and read it for yourself. So Miles to Go, it's one of the best series they've been putting out. It's from B. Clay Moore, and Stephen Molnar does the art. And this particular issue is all about Moses Graves, who's this person that the main character, Amara, has hooked up with. He's an older guy. He's been around the block. And he was friends with Amara's mentor, Marco. And when Marco's assassinated, Moses gets a call and, you know, springs into action to make sure he keeps Amara safe because he had promised his friend. So this particular issue, we learn a lot more about Moses. It's pretty much the whole issue is dedicated to him and his hometown. And we kind of see what kind of guy he is. So I want to talk about a new comic book day just because it's such a great series. And I talked about this on Monday, but I'll mention it again. This is not a, you know, a dynamic story in terms of, hey, there's people with superpowers and, you know, there's all these superpower fights with that draw your eyes in and all this eye candy. You know, this is a more visceral story, a more street level story with, you know, action and some mystery. You're not sure with the shady government agencies that are after these people. And, you know, they used to be hitmen and they were killing people. So there is action, but it's more street level, like I said. So for a book like that to really draw you in, it has to get the little things right. And this series gets the little things right. There's so much there that you can pull out of the story based on body language or the character acting or the physique or the backgrounds. It's done so, so well. And I'm not going to rehash everything that I broke down when I dove deep into issue 1, but like I said, go back and listen to that episode from Monday if you're curious. But man, I can't wait. So it got delayed. It actually should be further along, but the COVID and the whole pencils down thing at Aftershock, we're just getting issue 3 right now, and we should be getting the trade. But now the trade has been delayed until next May, and it's like, I want to finish reading this story and I want to get B. Clay back on the show. He's been on before, but I want to get him back on the show so we can, you know, talk about it, because it is so, so good. Like, it is really, really good. So it's in that vein of Hot Lunch Special, Manny, where, you know, you're pulled in by the relationships between people and the whole, you know, kind of crime street level action. So I know you'd dig on it too. I can't really say much about the colors because the PDF preview that I got isn't black and white. And the last couple of pages, they're not even inked. It's literally just pencils. So anyway, I really recommend it. Miles to Go. Like I said, 3rd issue is out today. And I'm sure you can, you know, find the next or the first 2 issues. They shouldn't be too hard to come by. This is not one of the Aftershock titles that have sold out, because that's the other thing. They've started to gain a little traction. And I don't think that retailers are ordering them in high amounts. So we're seeing some titles sell out, like We Live, you know, and then jump up in price. So you need to pay attention when there's a new Aftershock series to see if it's something that might catch your eye, because if you don't catch on until issue 2 or 3, you may not be able to find issue 1, you know, if it sells out. But I didn't hear anything about a sellout for Miles to Go. So you should be able to find or have your retailer reorder issue 1 for you if you want. And I'm sure issue 2 is still available as well. So really, really great series. Highly recommended. What do you have up next, Manny?
Detective Comics 1033 or 1033, whatever you want to call it. This is the wrap up to the current storyline, written by Peter J. Tomasi with Brad Walker on pencils, Andrew Hennessy inking, and Dave McCraig on colors for Shut Out the Light. As we know, Hush had the entire Bat family kidnapped in a good plan, and he was going to do what I think more villains should do and be proactive and not just think of themselves, but he was going to sell their organs to people that needed them at hospitals around the world to the highest bidders. At the end of last issue, we saw that Batman and Batman and Damian crashing through. They were going to stop him. And this is where it kicks off, exactly at that moment where they crash through the windows. And that happens. I feel that Batman in this issue was a little bit out of character. I understand him being upset with the whole situation, but I feel that he's a little bit more kind of unchained a little bit and angrier than what I'm used to seeing a Batman character. That's usually more interested in bringing these villains to justice than to give a beatdown. And I feel like that's kind of what happened here. And then also Hush, while he's cool, I like his character, he's super whiny. And again, if I really think about it, he's whiny a lot of other issues. But it's the same thing. He's like I can take some of the panels and some of the word balloons, and like I feel like they're like word for word exactly what he said in like Batman Eternal and Hush, and you know, and I'm like I'm like, is that all he has? Like.
He hasn't been fleshed out as much as he should, and I do sort of agree with you, but at the same time, when we found out that Mirror was Hush, we were pretty happy that at least it was.
Yeah, it was, but like, give me something, different. Add some flavor to him, and I just don't feel like they added any seasoning to it. And then, I just didn't like the way it wrapped up. I will say that, I found the ending a little bit more compelling, but I want to talk about that and what happens. And then we also get the mayoral race and see whatever happened with Nakano, which we're not going to talk about that either. The resolution, and I put in air quotes, resolution of Damian and Bruce, which happens also. We'll leave it there. And that's how Detective is gonna wrap up before Future State. And then next time we see it, it's gonna be in the hands of Mariko Tamaki, who may or may not do well. it was okay. It wasn't terrible. And then the other thing is that, and I know I've said this every time I've covered Detective recently, there's nothing wrong with it, but it's just a personal opinion. I do not like the way Brad Walker draws Batman. I do not like the cowl at all. That's just a personal choice.
Yeah, I gotta disagree with you there. I love the way Brad Walker draws Batman, but I like this issue a lot. I mean, yeah, is Hush a little two-dimensional? Yeah, does he not have enough meat on his bone? Yeah, he could. I feel like nobody's done it's Batman Hush, right? Like Jeff Loeb and Jim Lee, and it should be like his defining. but I feel like we haven't gotten his, you know, his quintessential run where somebody took him and did something amazing, like, you know, Scott Snyder did with the Riddler and leveled him up in 0 year. We haven't gotten that with Hush. But I like the issue because what I felt was that it really encapsulated what Tomasi and Brad Walker did on this. It felt very much like their story, like they went out on their own terms. I'm sad to see them leaving the book. But yeah, I did really like it. And then, you know, obviously the end with Damian and Batman, it's going to be interesting to see the repercussions of that. So I guess we'll see. All right. What do I need to talk about next? Like I got, I talked about that. Okay. So I have Dr. Doom number 10, speaking of final issues here. Why don't I have that open? All right, let me find it here. Yeah. So this is the final issue of Doom. I don't necessarily think that Christopher Cantwell wanted it to end, but end it does. So it's written by writer Christopher Cantwell. The art is by Salvador LaRocca. Colors by Guru EFX and letters by Corey Petit. At least, you know, much like the run we were just talking about with Tomasi and Brad Walker, you know, at least Christopher Cantwell knew that this was coming to an end, and he got a chance to end it on his own terms. And appropriately for a comic coming out in December, it's called Bedford Falls. So if you are living under a rock and you've never seen It's a Wonderful Life with Jimmy Stewart, that Christmas classic, the town that everything happens in is called Bedford Falls. And so we get sort of a similar story here. It's not like super cliche where there's some angel that comes in or anybody that comes in and is Doom's guide and shows him what the world would be like without him. It's not that on the nose, but it is a little bit of a glimpse for Doom into other possibilities, other things that could be or were in alternate dimensions or what have you. So it's great in that way. And here's the thing, like if you were to sit down and read all 10 of these issues of Christopher Cantwell's Dr. Doom, at least it ends with a period. You know, we were talking about how, you know, Wonder Woman didn't end very well for Tomaki, but this ends really well. Like he takes us on a journey, an emotional journey with Doom. And I think he's very successful with it. So as much as I didn't want to see it end, at least he got to do something really cool and leave Doom in a good spot. And the art from Salvador LaRocca this whole entire time has been absolutely amazing. And we get to see, even in this issue, we get to see Doom do something that I've never seen another character do before, which is really cool. Something that's always been sort of hinted at in the Marvel Universe. I've seen it hinted at multiple times. But it never comes to pass. And so, I was happy with the way it ended, even though I was disappointed that it ended the way that it did. And the last two dialogue boxes in the entire issue say, "In se cula, sanculorum, amen." And if you don't know what that means, in secula, seculorum, that's Latin. It means forever and ever. So it ends with Doom having a conversation with somebody, and that somebody says something to Doom, and he responds with sort of, he says something that basically sums up who Doom is, you know, who he himself is, how he sees himself. And then we get the forever and ever amen. So again, it ends with a little bit of like a little bit of a flourish, a little, you know, grandiosity, thinking about Doom as, you know, this kingly figure, this ruler of Latveria, but still a bad guy. And it ended up being a really great series, highly, highly underrated. I mean, it got nominated for an Eisner this last year. That's how great of a series it is. And I really wish it could have continued, but we still have Christopher Cantwell on Iron Man to look forward to every month. And he has a new series coming out from Scout Comics in the next year. So we'll see. Is it Scout Comics or is it Vault? Oh my God. Now I can't remember. I'm going to have to look that up while you talk about your next book, Manny.
So my last book is going to be, thought I had it open. Detective Comics. No, it's not. Sorry. Secret Origins, Dark Knight's Death Metal, by Scott Snyder, Jeff Johns, with a ton of artists, including Jerry Ornway, Francis Manipal, Ryan Benjamin, Richard Friend, Paul Pelletier, Norm Ratman, Hi-Fi, Ian Herring, Rain Bernardo, Adriano Lucas, and colors. Oh yeah, that includes colors. So this is Secret Origins. So you should talk about this book a little. You have more knowledge about this book than I do. I figured that out as I was reading it, because it deals with Superboy Prime.
One of my favorite characters.
Yeah, one of your favorite characters. So I just don't know how much I can give away about it, because it talks about his origin again, kind of, and getting superpowers, but some of the decisions he makes in fighting the Batman Who Laughs. And so I liked it. I thought it was good. And I was surprised that Jeff Johns was actually on the book. So
yeah, that was real interesting as well. Apparently it's the first time that Snyder and Johns have ever collaborated on an actual book. I mean, obviously they've worked on events and things. But this is the first time they ever worked on the same book. So, and from what Scott was saying on Twitter, he was very pleased with the, it was a lot of fun to work with Jeff, he said, and I'm very pleased with the result. So
the interesting thing to me is, it's for the amount of artists they have on there, it's only 38 pages. It's like overall it's 38 pages with some of the ads on in the beginning and that and the end. So, I was like, what happened that they need so much help on this damn book? Or if they were trying to get different feels for certain pages. But I found it interesting how they kept referring to some of the new books and stuff like that. And then also I was like, yeah, you pick up your books every Wednesday. Oh, wait, actually now every Tuesday, huh?
Yeah, it was kind of meta at times.
Crypto. Good showing in this book as well, but I liked it. I really did, and I didn't realize that the result of this book is going to be one of the implications for the final chapter of Dark Knight's Death Metal, which was weird. I didn't expect that. Usually these titles, like, yeah, they'll tie in a little bit, but I didn't realize that, and I gotta go back and look at it. I did not realize how much of a I just haven't read it in a while, that's why, probably.
Yeah, I mean, it says at the end, check out the epic conclusion in Death Metal number 7. But I mean we know that title's not coming out till January, so I'm not sure if there is a Death Metal book next week. I guess I can check real fast. And I did look at it. Is Vault Comics that Christopher Cantwell has a series coming out with Adam Gorham on art, actually. So that's a really, really good team. But yeah, so I'm not sure. You know, I love Jeff Johns. You know, Jeff's a great writer, very talented. And I just don't know. I mean, so many of his books lately, Doomsday Clock, obviously, and then Shazam, those are the two titles he's most recently done with DC. They were plagued with so many late issues, you know, and it's like you're looking at, okay, what's the common denominator here? You know, I know people, don't blame it on Jeff Johns. Supposedly he had the script all done or whatever. And yeah, it's Gary Frank and Dale Eaglesham and these, you know, they're slower, a little bit slower artists, a lot of details. You can see why it would take them longer. But then you see this book and it's got, again, you see that name Jeff Johns, and it's not late, but it's got like six or seven different art teams on it. So you wonder if, you know, they wanted to make sure this can't be late. So let's do this. And it's not that any of the art teams are bad.
No.
It's just, I wish that it had the same art team throughout. I would have loved to seen Jerry Ordway do the whole thing. But that's just, you know, kind of a personal preference thing.
I find it interesting. It can't be late. They had more than enough time for this book because this was supposed to be out so far back.
Kind of. Yeah, maybe, except that, you know, all the changes based on, okay, we're not doing 5G anymore, you know, that kind of thing. It could have affected it. But yeah, anyway, like I said, my thoughts on it, I loved it. This is without question my book of the week. There were several times where I just had a big giant grin on my face and I was so happy. Several times in this book where I just loved it. I thought it was great. I think Jeff Johns did absolutely amazing job. I want to talk about it more, but I can't give spoilers. Like, I have a lot to say about this book and you know, the plot and what happens and conversations I've had with Dan Didio about the characters in this book and some of the things that happen. So yeah, there's so much to unpack, and obviously I can't spoil anything. So I'll just say,
I love this page.
Thank you. Thank you, Jeff Johns. Thank you, Scott Snyder. This was absolutely amazing. Like, I'm going to have a hard time topping this for like best single issue. Like, this is going to be an award winning book for me when we do our awards of 2020. And I know, you know, we always talk about, things get backloaded. You know, we always end up picking a bunch of books that are more toward the end and more recent in our mind. I can't help it, man. Like, and I'll get into it when we,
on a Superman Sunday,
or something, where we can go spoilers, but we want everybody to be able to read this. And obviously, you know, this comes out on Wednesday, New Comics Wednesday, and the book's already out, and maybe some of you already read it, but oh man, there's just so much to love in this book. Like, honestly, it's so great. From seeing Jerry Ordway on a Superman book again, the only drawback, the only thing that I will say about this book that I don't like, is the fact that the Gary Frank cover is like an incentive cover and it's like $45. And I much prefer that cover to the regular cover, but I wasn't going to pay $45 for it. And now after reading it, I'm like, yeah, I'll probably pay $45 for it. Damn it, I should have read it. I don't know. We'll see. I go to my comic shop tomorrow. Maybe he'll have a copy. Because I didn't pre-order it because it was too much.
$45.
Yeah. Yeah, so we'll see. But yeah, it's just amazing. It was so, so good. Like, not only my book of the week, like possibly my book of the year. That's how good it is. So if you're a fan of Superboy Prime, if you're a fan of Superman, you gotta pick this up. And I will say, just like the, I guess it was Death of a New God, where, you know, I told people to read it. You wouldn't necessarily need to even know what's going on in Death Metal to go and check it out and, you know, meet that. I can't even remember what it was like the DC version of Cosmic Ghost Rider. I can't remember what his name was now, but that guy from the other dimension, how you could come in, you could just read it. You don't even need to be reading Death Metal. You can get something out of it. It's the same thing here, man. You can pick this up if you're a Superman fan and you have no plans to read Death Metal, and you can read this and just enjoy it for the story and what it does with the characters. And not have to finish or read any Death Metal, because it's just great. It's that good. It really, really is. So I think this one's going to be an instant classic. Yeah, so good. Anything else you want to say about it, Manny?
Oh yeah, that's a much better cover. I'm looking at the Gary Frank cover right now.
Yeah, it's a fantastic cover. So apparently those were like those Gary Frank. There's several of them that have a bunch of characters from different generations. And those were going to be the covers to the 5G one shots apparently. And they already commissioned the art. So
they connect though. That's what supposedly.
Yeah. I think they connect.
Interesting.
And I've ordered a couple of them, but I did not order this one. And now I'm going to have to go track it down.
Yeah, no. So just final thoughts. Yeah. Hands down, it's also my book of the week. I know we usually say that till the end, but well, actually that's my last book. So yeah, that's my book of the week.
Yeah, I'm looking it up right now on eBay. I'm just curious what the Gary Frank, like $30 on eBay. Buy it now, $5 shipping, so $35. Here's a listing for $10, but obviously it still has six days to go. So yeah, it's probably less than the $45 that I thought. But of course, there's some on here that are $8. Here's one for $80. Here's one for $69. So yeah, you can probably get it for around $35.
Once all the covers connect, that looks really cool.
Yeah, it's great. It's great art, man. It really, really is. So, all right, well, let me give a rundown on some of the other books you might want to be on the lookout for today. And I did check. I kind of wish this had been the last one shot leading into issue 7, but there is another one shot next week on December 30th. We have the Dark Knight's Death Metal, the Last 52 War of the Multiverses, number one, one shot. So maybe that will be kind of poignant too. I mean, but I mean, for me, because I'm such a Superboy Prime fan, that's why this one was so impactful for me. So I don't know, maybe next week will be really great for this War of 52s or what have you. So, all right. Let me see other books you might want to be on the lookout for. The Man Who Effed Up Time. That's another one of the Aftershock titles that I talked about, the number one on Monday. The trade paperback is out this week. If you want to check that out, from Boom Studios, we have the third issue of Dune, House of Atreides. I feel like Dune's profile, Dune, you know, as a property, a lot of people are talking about it. A lot of people are discovering it. That's a lot to do with the Dune movie that's going to be coming out next year. So from my understanding, that maxi series has been doing very well. There's also a new Firefly miniseries called Firefly Blue Sun Rising. And then we have Something is Killing the Children 13, which I've heard very good things about, and Unkindness of Ravens, number four, the Dan Panosian book, has number four of four. Meanwhile, over at DC, in addition to the books that we talked about, we've got Last God number 11. We've got that Black Adam Endless Winter Special 1 that I mentioned, and we also have The Batman White Knight Presents Harley Quinn, number 3 of 6. So we're halfway through that. I did read that book, and it was pretty solid. I'm really digging on that, the White Knight Harley Quinn book. Of the White Knight books I've read, that's been my favorite one so far. Over at Image, we had Department of Truth, number 4, which I read and could have talked about. But, you know, like we've talked about with this book before, the problem with it is... And it's just hard to talk about that book in 2020. There's already so many things that depress me about this year. And then to talk about a book that's basically about conspiracy theories, it's hard to talk about conspiracy theories right now because I don't even want to think about crazy, illogical conspiracy theories because there's too many people buying into that garbage right now. So it's a very relevant book in a way, but at the same time, it's kind of a tough read because you know, and that's just me. That's what I'm bringing to the book. Gideon Falls, number 27. That's the finale of that series. And I know we talked about it like 6 weeks ago. And I thought, oh, man, how am I going to catch up on Gideon Falls so I can read the finale when it comes out? And then when we looked, we're like, oh, it's not coming out. We thought it was coming out, you know, in a couple weeks, you know, the following week from when we talked about it, or 2 weeks. I didn't think I had much time. I said, oh, no, it's 6 weeks out. I have plenty of time. Yeah, didn't read a single issue. I think I read up to like issue 18 and then I fell off, and I feel like if I fall off that long, I need to go back and just read the whole thing. But we didn't even get a preview copy. Image Comics held it back, I guess, because they didn't want anything spoiled. So I was kind of let off the hook on that one, but it's one of the best comics out there on stands today. And the final issue comes out tomorrow. So it's a $7.99 cover price. It's a huge, like triple size. And probably after Christmas, maybe between the week between Christmas and New Year's, I'll make that my goal to read Gideon Falls, let you guys all know what I think about it. We also have the latest issue of Oblivion Song with number 29, Scumbag number 3, which I'm still not sure how I feel about that book, Spawn number 313, and then Undiscovered Country number 11 is also out. We've got Amazing Spider-Man 54.LR, that's Last Rites. That's the accompanying series that's going on right now. It's written by Matthew Rosenberg. It ties into the Last Rites story that's going on in the regular Amazing Spider-Man series. We've also got King in Black, number 2 of 5. That's the Donny Cates big event that's going on right now that has to do with Null, the symbiote king. The Maestro miniseries comes to an end with number 5 from Peter David. Art by Herman Peralta. I have to say, ultimately, I was disappointed in that series. I thought the first issue showed such promise, and it ended up being okay. It ended up being like a sort of a fun action comic, but it was nowhere near as kind of cerebral as I expected it to be. And this issue might've been my least favorite. It was totally by the numbers. So a little disappointed there. Spider-Woman number 7 is out today as well. That is a tie-in to the King in Black. And then we've got U.S. Agent number 2 of 5, which I did not read. I read the first issue, really didn't like it. So I didn't go back for issue 2. And then over at Valiant, we have Exo Manowar number 3, written by Dennis Hopeless Hallam. And I've been hearing good things about Exo, but I haven't read any of the new series that's been coming out from Valiant. So that does it. It's a surprisingly big week, being that we're only a couple days before Christmas. And then next week, it's actually a pretty light week, which you kind of expect, you know, a lot of people on vacation, time off, that sort of thing. But we'll definitely be back next week for another new Comic Book Day episode to tell you guys what we've read and what we've liked. In the meantime, be sure you're checking out all of our 12 days of the Comic Source episodes, especially on Christmas. We're going to drop a ton of episodes, 12 episodes on Christmas Day. A lot of them are conversations with creators and comic book content creators, you know, YouTube people that do podcasts, just talking to them about their year, what have been some of the positives about 2020, rather than focusing on the negative, and maybe what they're looking forward to in the new year. So a lot of good stuff on Christmas Day. Some really cool creators, some creators that I know personally that have come on and talk about their 2020 and what's been great for them. So really looking forward to dropping those on you. In the meantime, keep listening to all the other episodes leading up to that day. We covered a lot of holiday stuff, a lot of holiday stories. It's been a lot of fun to talk about. And then just getting caught up on some other stuff, some X-Men titles. Like I said, I did all the Aftershock number 1. So if you have to travel, if you're driving somewhere on Christmas, going to see family, man, I got hours and hours and hours of entertainment for you to listen to on the drive. So I hope you're all enjoying it. Anything else to add, Manny?
No, you pretty much covered it. I mean, everybody should be staying home anyway, so you might as well read some comics.
Definitely will agree with that sentiment. And one last thing I'll ask anybody. If you get something really cool that's comic book related for Christmas, send me pictures, put it up on Twitter and let me know what cool stuff, if it's original art or cool omnibuses or, you know, cool back issues that somebody, I mean, cause here's the thing, right? Like as a comic book collector, I never got stuff like, man, he's got a big Fox Machina Origins. Looks pretty sweet. Ooh. But yeah, like people just don't know what to get. It's like growing up, my parents knew how much I loved comics, but they couldn't go to a comic store and get something for me because they wouldn't know where to even begin, right?
Yeah.
And same thing with friends. You didn't talk that much about the comics that you know that you loved. So, man, if you have somebody in your life that knows you well enough to know what you like comics-wise and gets you comics for Christmas, man, that is a Christmas miracle. That is a Festivus miracle. That's amazing. That's so great. So be sure you send us some pictures and let us know what the people in your life that care about you are hooking you up with comics wise for Christmas. So what I have to look forward on Christmas Day is moving all 58 of my long boxes. I have to completely rearrange my studio. And if I wasn't so busy doing all these 12 days of the Comic Source podcast, I would have done it already. But
you're supposed to be with your family, Jace. Now you're long.
Well, I'm gonna put Jaden to work. I'm gonna put my son to work. Help me move these boxes. I had my wedding anniversary about a week ago, and my wife got me a full size Golden T4, like video game cabinet. You know, like the full size stand up one, and that's fantastic. That's a great, awesome thing to get me. Although, you know, probably time spent playing Golden T4 instead of reading comics, but whatever, it's nice to do something different. But the problem is, in order to make room for it, I have to rearrange my studio and I got to move all my drawer boxes to rearrange to make room for it. So first world problems, 100% first world problems, but I'm not looking forward to it. That's why it's not set up yet. So Anyway, that's going to do it for this episode. As always, we want to thank you for joining us, and we'll talk to you next time.
You can find the Comic Source Podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play, or whichever podcasting app you prefer. Please tell all your friends about us, subscribe, and rate us. The ratings really help with our visibility and our ability to reach new listeners, especially 5-star reviews on Apple. Also, be sure to visit us at lrmonline.com to join the conversation, access the show notes, and discover all our other great pop culture content. If you want to email us, the email address is thecomicsourceblog@gmail.com, or you can follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/thecomicsource. Do a search for The Comic Source on Facebook and Instagram to follow us on those social platforms. All three spots are great places to find out when we release new episodes, as well as follow all our convention coverage. So once again, we want to thank everyone for listening, and we'll talk to you next time.